We would like to begin this podcast by acknowledging that the land on which we record is the occupied, traditional, and unceded territory of the Stalo First Nation.
So we are all humans. We are not so different. We're just helping a neighbor out. We're not better or more superior or have different. It's like, no, it's like we're just neighbors helps neighbor in a way.
Welcome to the Ending Poverty Together podcast. I'm Shalane, and we're here to discuss big questions about poverty in bite-sized ways. Franz Meyer is a dedicated HR and project management professional working for the Canadian Red Cross. Originally from Germany and now based in Ottawa, he brings a passion for sustainable and localized international development. Franz holds a master's degree in human security, and his work is driven by the goal of empowering communities to lead their own development. He believes in strengthening local leadership and self-determination, focusing on solutions that build resilience from the ground up rather than undermining existing community structures. Franz also serves as vice chair of Food for the Hungry's board. Welcome to the podcast, Franz.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
It's great to have you. I appreciate you taking time, and I'm looking forward to hearing your take on your trip to Cambodia recently with the board, the FH board, and also just, you know, you talk about having education in human security. So I'm curious about that lens and the way you've seen things. So first of all, just tell us a little bit about the trip that you just took to Cambodia not that long ago.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's a highlight, highlight of my year probably, to be able to go. So not a lot of people, maybe if people go, it's, I've always feel it's a privilege.
It is a privilege. We do take people, but not, you know, for the number of donors we have, it's a small percentage who actually get to go and have that privilege.
Yeah. Well, and then it's just so true in terms of like the experience is shaping me and who I am as a person so much, right? It's learning so much, just being receptive to that experience as well. So it's such a two-way street, right? So for me, I felt like really privileged to be able to go and to see it. Me being on the board for a few years now and actually seeing this now firsthand on the ground, at least a glimpse of it, was just phenomenal just to watch that. And I was really happy just to see how things that we're talking about actually are congruent with what we're doing.
What we say we do, we actually do? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. I was like, mind blown. It's like, what? It's actually happening. Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah. So I'm curious, when you say that, what are a couple of things that you said, okay, I've been hearing about this, now I'm seeing it firsthand?
Yeah, it was really interesting because we got to see several different communities at different stages of this 10-year cycle, right? So starting off with a community that has been like 10 years in, about to graduate or just past that point. And the dialogue was different. The language was different. The mentality was different in terms of like how ownership was portrayed in these conversations. And then on the flip side of some of these conversations with a community that was not nearly as far along,
right,
there was a whole lot more in terms of like, almost like, tell us what to do, you know, in a way. And it's like, that's not their approach at all, right? Their approach is really, success really is defined then by like, oh, we're owning this. And so recognizing that it's not only like a community development issue, but also like a mentality issue and an emboldening approach that has to be built alongside the way to get to that goal. So it was really interesting to see how that philosophy, you know, at least in snapshots, like you see an early and a later snapshot, you know, you don't see the full progression. And then every community is different. Of course, people are different. So I'm sure it plays out differently everywhere. But it was super interesting just to compare that. That was surprising to me.
Yeah. And it really speaks to the value of the long-term commitment, doesn't it? Because it does take time for that kind of mindset and worldview shift to take place.
Yeah. their appreciation of like how much time this actually takes, right? It's like we live in an Instagram world of like instant gratification. It needs to happen right. Oh, here's a problem. Here's the solution. Yeah. It's like this takes time. And it's amazing just to see that that length of commitment for a community. And it's also challenging, you know, if you do it right as a community development approach in that kind of way. It's really hard to get people to join our approach and saying, oh, I want to see results. I want to have this build and this build and this build. I was like, here is all the things we do. It's like, it's not that easy. So some of this stuff is like a little bit more hidden in the relationship building and that emboldening capacity building that is just not easily like, oh, there it is.
Right.
You know, it's and a school building is obvious. Oh, there's a school building. Well, there's a well. Yeah. I was like, but all the other stuff is just not as obvious, I think.
So in my experience, I actually just had the privilege of taking some Canadians to Cambodia in June. And there were specific snapshots of that change happening. And I imagine that you experienced that as well. Can you recall a particular person or a particular activity that you participated in where you said, that's change happening right there?
Yeah, super interesting. So one thing I picked up on is community-centric approach, right? So I'm not looking necessarily for only like, oh, here's education improvement or here is a financial improvement. It's like, well, how do we accomplish community development, right? And so for that, I was looking for these synergies that correlate that in multiple planes. So an example for that was we went into a school and we experienced the changes in the school system where we're saying, okay, retention rates are up. And they were highlighting certain things like integration of parents in the school system, in the committees. So it's not a segregated kind of element of like, they're doing education, it's not my job, but it's like our job. And so there was that element going on. Funny enough, just the same day, a little later, we went into the community savings group, I think it was called. That the philosophy is like we're saving together ultimately.
The savings and loans groups,
That's right, okay, that's what it's called. A super interesting concept, of course, in itself. But what came up in the conversation there was that because they had that element of savings for a rainy day, so to speak, they were able to ensure the kids stayed in school because they didn't have to pull them out to help them on the financial side of things. It was like, okay, here is an example of multiple plane approach in community development, because you can do whatever you want to do to maintain them in schools and parent integration, but unless you're solving the financial element at the same time, you will not succeed. So it's a typical whole community approach that was fascinating for me just to observe that.
Yeah, and you know, one other layer that I have observed the multiple times I've been in Cambodia is the hand washing stations at the school and the access to latrines in the schools, because now children and their families are not getting sick from waterborne illnesses, and so they're actually better able to attend school. And so their, you know, their attendance rates go up.
Yeah, this is exactly it. I mean, it was a different community we walked into, but they had a water project going on with like a water source that is clean and sustainable. And it was a different community. But one of the highlights there was we don't have to go that far to get clean water. And go that far is equated with time, is equated with income that you can spend elsewhere. So there's another component there besides wash and besides hygiene, right? It's like the access to clean water is quite a cumbersome endeavor.
And it's often a...
You don't think about
that. Yeah, it's often a safety issue too, because it tends to be, in these communities, women and children, often girls, who are going to access the water. And so there's potential dangers along the way as they're retrieving the water as well.
Well, it's like, and it's also fascinating because a skill development element is in there as well, right? Mm. So there's another plane coming through where they are. Uh-huh. It's like, okay, it's not just like a water tower or a water source, yep, that deals with hygiene, with time savings, with a central place that is observed and, you know, is safe for people to get to, but then also the ownership maintaining this. Mm. So we looked at the tower and there was like a valve, a shutoff valve that was dripping.
Uh-huh.
And I was like talking to the community elder that was part of this program. Uh-huh. And he was saying, so what's happening? It's breaking. It's like, what are you going to do? I mean, this is getting used 5 million times a day. Yeah, right. I was like, so what are you doing? It's, yeah, like, how sustainable is this? Mm-hmm. It's like, no, we're good. Like, we have supplies, we fix it ourselves. Mm. Blah, blah, blah. So now you're talking about skill development. You're, yes, talking about ownership on that level of like transferable skills used in like warehousing, logistics, mm, figuring out long-term sustainability. So suddenly you have another plane coming through in this community's holistic approach that, mm-hmm, is just fascinating. It's like so many check marks getting addressed as we going along, mm-hmm, in this one community.
Yes.
And of course, no kidding, it will take 10 years, yeah, right? It's like, this will take some time.
For sure. This probably is kind of one of those no-brainer kind of questions, but as a board member, why did it matter that you actually go and experience this in person? How has it changed your ability to be part of the governance of FH Canada?
Yeah, it's really good. I mean, our mandate as a board is to have oversight, uh-huh, right, all the way through. Not just like, oh, we're collecting money and sending it elsewhere into the big black hole and,
right,
you know, who knows what's happening. As a governance board, we are responsible to ensure that we know where these financial contributions are going.
Mm-hmm.
And are they congruent with our mandate that we say we would be doing?
Right.
So for me, it's one thing to sit on a board and get excellent reports, mm-hmm, and, you know, stories from the field.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, nowadays it's like, well, you just ask AI to create something yeah, like that for you. And right, you could actually pull that off, no problem at all.
Yeah,
right?
It's like, true.
The very fact that you can walk, and it's really costly. I was like, that oversight costs,
mm,
a lot of money to ensure that this is done well. There's no abuse there,
yeah,
in a way, right?
Yeah.
And providing that oversight, that costs the organization something. Mm-hmm. But I think the return of that investment is that we can 100% state that we do what we do,
mm-hmm,
what we're stating we would be doing, mm-hmm, all the way through. And this is with somebody on the board that is not in the day-to-day operations. So it's,
right,
like more of like a green, fresh eyes kind of look that ultimately is an audit. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that says, what about this?
Mm-hmm.
And how does this make sense? And how does this make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And how does this contribute? So we get to go along,
mm-hmm,
with an operations team that's does that,
yep,
and it's like, I imagine quite winnable to like, okay, here's the board of directors coming along.
Yeah, that's not intimidating
all
at
questions.
All.
And I was like, okay. And it's like, but the atmosphere was great,
yeah,
and there was no kind of like nervousness or anything. Mm. It was just like super proud moment just to showcase,
sure,
and educate. And so for me, that was like an indication of like, yeah, we're doing great work.
Mm-hmm.
And I can walk away and to my friends and colleagues and I can say, this is great work.
Mm-hmm.
I can wholeheartedly endorse it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I think that was a really important element, I think, from a, mm-hmm, from a board perspective,
mm-hmm,
to get to go sporadically into different contexts,
yeah,
to actually observe what's going on.
Yeah, no, that's great. And it's a sacrifice on your part to take the time and to be away to do that. So we're grateful. Because it is important that as a member of this organization, that we know that our board believes in and trusts and understands the work that is happening. So we're grateful for that.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing. It's the integration, right? It's,
mm-hmm,
like, unless we understand, it's really hard to steward it and making,
yes,
sure that the DNA and the pulse of this organization stays on track.
Mm-hmm.
As we change, we have to change,
sure,
right? The world around us changes, so we have to adapt. We can't be just, oh, it has worked. Like, it lasts 20 years. It's going to work forever. I was like, what?
No,
we have to change. Yeah. But we need to shepherd that in a way that we're holding tight to that DNA, mm-hmm. to that core principles, these values that we're having. Mm-hmm. And that requires understanding yes. that it's tough to pick that up from a report yeah. or just like budget numbers and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One of the things that I have the privilege of experiencing, because I do get to lead quite a number of trips, is seeing the personal impact that visiting the FH communities internationally has on people. I'm curious, what would you say were some of the things that really spoke to your heart?
So what impacted me most, and I start with the simple statement of like, I was shocked how much we have lost a sense of community mm. in a Western sense of living.
Yes.
Like, shocked about that.
Yeah.
There we are applying it, or like stewarding it in the context of community and watching and learning how communities self-govern. Mm-hmm. And I was just like privileged just to look over the shoulder and just like, wow, mm. this is amazing. Mm-hmm. I remember we were meeting at the side of the road. The whole community was present. We showed up in a van, and I'm just like, I'm feeling like VIPs. And I'm just like, I don't know how I feel being in like in the spotlight here, but yeah. just observing the community all showing up mm-hmm. and then hearing stories about different families joining at various points in a 10-year journey mm-hmm. in the savings group, for instance, mm-hmm. right? Some of them really early on, some of them just recently. Mm. But watching the whole community be there and then indicating how that affected their communities and pulled them actually together mm-hmm. because of a common system and common trust, it's built community. And then I was reflecting for me, well, here in the Canadian world, mm. I have my own budget, I have my own job, mm-hmm. we have our own family unit. There's no collaborative saving entity here that I go over to my neighbor and saying, listen, mm-hmm. I have issues, could I borrow from the central pool? I'll pay it back. Nothing like that. Mm-hmm. We're very like proud of our independence. Mm-hmm. We love doing that. And so what I took back for me is like, number one, I can learn from that. Mm-hmm. How do I implement that into my own life mm-hmm. besides the culture that exists? Mm-hmm. And second is there's a danger for us as Westerners to walk into a Cambodia world mm-hmm. and then saying, hey, we have the solution.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, we come with our glasses on that is not necessarily community-based, right?
Exactly.
So that approach over 10 years to really be, I would almost say careful
yes,
to
sure.
say, we don't want to superimpose our views mm-hmm. and approaches and solutions to that. We want to really listen. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that takes some time to say, how does this work? Because mm-hmm. I don't think we have it all figured out in a way. That humility or the humbling element I took back of like, oh, yeah, with all our education, with all our experience, We have so much more to learn. Mm-hmm. It's really a two-way street. So I would love to bring that, observe how we could bring that further back into the Canadian culture mm-hmm. as an organization as well through some of these podcasts, for instance, mm-hmm. like, okay, challenging folks to say, okay, how do we do communities?
How do we build?
Do we know our neighbors?
Right.
How are they doing?
Right.
If they're not doing well, do we even know about it?
Yeah.
Most of the time, we just don't.
Yeah.
And there's no systems in place to govern this. So for instance, an example, mm-hmm. the loan savings group has this lockbox
yes.
that has three locks on it.
Right.
And I'm just like, okay, somebody thought that through. Mm-hmm. With one lock, mm-hmm. you would think it's like, oh, there could be fraud and people could steal.
Yeah.
Three locks to unlock this, you need three people.
Exactly.
Here, right?
And somebody different takes the box.
That's right.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, there's somebody thought this through
yeah.
In terms of like making sure that our processes sustain, mm-hmm. Sustain it as well. So if I were to do this with my neighbor and saying, hey, so you have like a hard time right now, well, where is the system and process to ensure that there is no conflict coming down the road? There's no lawsuit coming down. It's like, how is this governed?
Yeah.
And so that knowledge of like not only have it community led, but then when it's appropriate to provide that education and that framework to do this well without an infusion of money. Because that was another thing that really came up where they said, there's a loan savings group that did this a few times already in the past and it failed every single time. Right. And we said, why did it fail?
Yeah.
And their indication was because these other organizations provided a starter amount of capital. I was like, what?
Interesting.
And so how did FH do this?
Yeah.
And I was like, well, FH didn't do any financial contribution at all.
No.
It's just the system and approach how we're doing this. There's no money given that way. And it was all their own money.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly, few years down the road, they were just like, it's the only way it worked.
Yeah.
And I was like, very interesting, right?
Because the ownership is different, right? This is, I'm excited to help my neighbor because they're borrowing money that is partly my money, potentially.
Yeah.
And so that, that again, that sense of community and that trust building and the desire to help one another. You know, when you're talking about community, one of the stories that comes to my mind immediately, and I just think, what, when would this ever happen in a Western culture, or certainly in my experience? I was chatting with a woman who was part of a savings and loans group in one of the communities in northern Cambodia. And she said, we decided as a savings and loans group that we wanted to make sure that everybody in our community had a latrine in their home. So they corporately saved to make sure that if somebody couldn't afford a latrine in their home, that they were going to put one in as community members. And the last time I was in that community, there was only one home remaining that did not have a latrine. And they were they were excited that they were gonna see that vision fulfilled very, very soon. I was profoundly impacted by that.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Just the sense of community, right?
Yes.
Just we are stronger together.
Yes.
It's just like mind-blowing.
Yeah.
Absolutely mind-blowing.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's like for me, that was a transformative experience just to see lovely, lovely people, right? And just also recognizing, oh, there's a government component in Cambodia as well where they need to go over a certain threshold in order to get additional help by the government. They can't actually get to that threshold.
Right.
But there is systems in place, localized systems within the country that would provide some assistance. But you know, getting there is a challenge
to
that threshold, right? And so I don't know enough about what the system is, but ultimately, I mean, also not undermining localized governance structures that are already in place. But then it's like, okay, what needs to happen to bridge that to get there?
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, and so the utilization of saving groups to get into latrines and ensure that this happens is amazing.
I'm curious, you were traveling with multiple board members, with the board. And what was some of the sense from some of your traveling companions? What were they struck by?
Yeah, really, really interesting. I mean, there's a variety, like ultimately fun group.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it was really a fun group to travel with.
Uh-huh.
I think we're all really just easygoing and just up for anything, like, you know, so it's great. And I think the major impact there that was is just to soak all that experiences in and get to, in small ways, hands-on contribute as well. Sometimes it makes you really feel really good. So I remember one of our board members having knitted a bunch of like almost like frisbees, like discs, right? And we went into this kids program. They're running like a day program. And then we got to play around with the kids a little bit. And I remember what really stood out. I say you see all these board members and just running around the yard. And it's like little kids. It's just amazing that there was a huge language barrier.
Yes.
Like we couldn't understand a word. Yet we did make it work.
Mm-hmm.
And explained rules. And even like hey, you can't take that Frisbee away from this kid. There is a rule about this game. Now you have to give it back. And it's all through hand signs.
Sure.
And so just also recognizing, I think, and that was really what I got it from the conversation, the bus later on. So we are all humans. Mm. We are not so different. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, we get to, without language, we can play. Mm-hmm. And it totally makes sense. Mm-hmm. So it's like just, we're the same. We're just helping a neighbor out. We're not better or more superior or have different. It's like, no, it's like we're just like neighbors helps neighbor in a way. Yeah.
And experiencing that universal language of play. You can't go wrong with that. It's just such a delight to play with those kids.
It's amazing, right? The other thing that came up in a conversation, which was surprising to me, was we're going in with the intention to leave, which is such a profound guiding principles in my mind. Because unless you leave or plan on leaving, this is going to be a trickle effect going down the road. Yeah. It's like, how are you going to embolden a community to just like be independent? So one of the conversations we have was reflecting on some comments we got from some of the communities that were further along.
Okay.
That said, oh, can you guys stay around? Mm. Can you guys stay longer? Mm-hmm. And it's not coming from a sense of like, we need more help or anything. It's like, no, they were very confident.
Yeah.
They're really proud of what they were doing. This relationship was there,
exactly.
Right? It's like, oh, we love you guys. We want to stay there.
Yeah.
We appreciate that mentoring element. And we was just like, we're just down the road now in the community over there.
Yeah.
You know?
And
we'll get to see you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But not necessarily, we also go in with the attention. It's like, that was a profound experience that I feel like this is an important principle that that's
and
really
it's,
helping
it,
frame
it's
it.
It's not a shock to anybody because that, when we start partnering with communities, that's all right up front. That exit plan is discussed right from the beginning. And it doesn't come as a shock to anybody because those discussions happen all along the way, which I think is just such an important part of the how in the way that FH works. Everybody's involved, right? The partner community is saying we're ready. We're sad because we like you and we don't want you to go, but we all know we're ready.
Well, yeah, and it's ultimately that's these soft conversations that's harder to observe. Like even for us visiting, it was harder to observe that. Mm-hmm. We picked it up every once in a while that it was like a leadership kind of modules that FH is driving.
Yes.
And things like that, where it's like, oh yeah, so that's the soft skills. Mm-hmm. That's the background stuff. Mm-hmm. That's the best practice. How do you lead well? How do you be humble? How do you not be top down? How do you recognize the diversity in the community? How do you not, you know, within the culture? It's like this, and I don't know, I would love to find out more. Personally, it's like, oh man, I would love to be like a fly on the wall with some of these things.
Yeah.
Well,
that's why I think
to observe that.
Yeah, the evaluation and the measurements that happen, they're not just all numbers and data in terms of the hard data kind of thing, but it's also, hey, we're going to pull this group together. We're going to have a conversation. We're going to hear stories. And so it's both and in order to find out how communities are really doing and how they're progressing.
Yeah. For me, what's super interesting and fascinating about this, and it brings it back to the human security approach for me, is if you frame it in a large picture, you have this national security element of like safety, you know, for the state in a way. But the human security element adds to it and says, okay, there's a freedom not only from fear, but there's a freedom of want as well in that. Mm-hmm. And the freedom of want is an element that, unless addressed, will undermine the stability of the entire state in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, when we're talking about FH and how FH is going community one at a time, is really looking into strengthening communities, which ultimately, as if you're looking at it from the ground level up, contributes to that freedom of fear, element and provides national level security enough like how this looks like. Mm-hmm. And so for me, from a development approach, which was the reason why I engaged with FAH in the first place, uh-huh. is because I do believe that contra to like just going in, finding a solution on the high level of like, okay, fix that state, mm-hmm. Put some new leader on that, undermines all that grassroots stuff. Mm. And it needs to be there as well. And yeah. how do you do this well? And I don't think it's done well all the time.
Right. Yeah.
Which is a challenge, because ultimately if you do it wrong, you walk in and you undermine localized leadership. You disempower. You create dependencies.
Yep.
And then if you leave, you leave it worse than it was before.
Yeah.
And invite a whole lot of other insecurities into it. So to approach this in a way, like if FH is doing it, is something that is like, needs to be scaled. Mm. And then addressed across the entirety of a nation, ideally. Mm-hmm. But I do respect the fact that in a development framework, we often think about the big picture and how do we want to fix everything. It's like, well, we only get to do what's in front of us. Mm-hmm. The one community, one person in front of us. Mm-hmm. And there, do it well. Mm-hmm. You know? And so I think that's really, is really important for us to recognize. It's like, well, we can do our part really well. Mm-hmm. And ideally showcase that as well. It's like, how do we do it?
Sure.
And as transparent as we can, so that others might be coming alongside, either through donations or replicating program approaches, and make that a shared entity. It's like, okay, this is working well. Look at our results. This is working really well.
Yes, it is working really well. And our time is gone. It always goes so fast. As we're wrapping up here, was there anything else you wanted to add, or have we pretty much covered it? What are you thinking?
I think we touched on a lot of different things. Uh-huh. It's really, really fascinating. I appreciate being just on here just to talk about that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
It's nice to reflect on some of these things with questions as well. Mm-hmm. So it's easy just to, oh, that was an experience, you move on. And I was like, oh, you get to revisit it a little bit. It's like, oh, yeah, right. It was quite amazing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So thanks for having me on.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time. And thanks for all that you do serving on the board. We really appreciate that. Appreciate you.
Yes, it's fun. I'm enjoying it a lot. And I'm really proud of what this organization is doing and everyone that is putting their hands to the work within or outside the organization and partnering with communities. I think it's really a privilege to be part of that community in the role I play right now. But I know that there's many, many others that are just contributing. Yeah.
Wonderful. Thanks so much, Franz. If today's episode sparked questions for you, or you'd like to learn more about Food for the Hungry, please email me at podcast@fhcanada.org.